This is Chef John Foles welcoming you to Stirring It Up, the best tasting show on radio, and inviting you to join us at the kitchen table for another hour of adventures in food. Each week, we travel from the back roads of Louisiana to the streets of Europe's capitals, delving into food. We talk with chefs, food historians, authors, and producers. We search out current trends, revive forgotten traditions, and we're going to cook a recipe for you. Great news, y'all. Louisiana breweries are back. Our unique Louisiana flavors deserve great beer to match, and these new breweries have just the right blends on tap. Join me, Chef John Foles, and Charles Caldwell and Tom Degrapont of Tin Roof Brewery as we talk about Louisiana beers on Stirring It Up next. But first, the news. Chef John Foles welcoming you to Stirring It Up, the best tasting show on radio. From the swamps and bayous of South Louisiana, thanks for joining us in our little piece of culinary heaven where good cooking is just a way of life. Mornings begin here with a roux simmering in a cast iron pot, and our evenings end with thoughts of what we're going to cook tomorrow. All right, everybody, welcome to Stirring It Up, the best tasting and cultural show on radio. It's so nice to have all of you with us today. Thanks for joining us at the kitchen table. I'd like to welcome Michelle York, our executive producer. How are you doing today?
I am good, thank you. How are you doing?
A little chill in the air, I would say.
You're a little chilly.
I'm a little chilly, don't you find?
Yeah, but I like that. I'm enjoying all this nice, cool weather.
Well, I know everybody was saying how nice and cool it was, but I guess that's a trend this time of year.
I guess that's an annual trend.
It's an annual trend that I look forward to every year. Anyway, and across the glass wall, Dean Slime, our engineer, keeping our music sound and balanced and dynamic. What else can we say about Dean? How you doing?
Hey, John. Thanks for the introduction.
We were talking about the color of your beer, that nice, who was the Crusader, Barbarossa, I forget his name, the red beard. Remember that?
Vikings?
Big Crusader. Frederick Barbarossa.
Oh, my goodness.
Thank you for reminding me of that. Huh?
You know, most men grow beards this time of year, you know, because they're going hunting. So are you hunting?
Yeah, I'm hunting on some good music for the show. I'm always hunting.
He said he had the descent from the red beards, huh?
The red beards.
Yeah. Well, anyway, y'all, it's that time of year again. I just cannot believe how October zipped by. And it's a shame, too, because for Germans like me, that's our month to
Your
shop.
Month.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, time to celebrate with Oktoberfest and enjoy brats and sauerkraut and drink some of that great German beer.
Beer. You're drinking German beer.
I tell you. October just flies by because there's so much good things happening in October. You get to the end of it pretty quick, you know.
Hmm? Yeah. You know, kind of comes in with a bang, out with a bang.
Well, I know that there's a lot of activities, you know, with the time left. I know the German-American Cultural Center had their Oktoberfest over there in Gretna with live bands and great German beer garden. Did you go? You miss that one?
Well, you and I went a couple years ago.
Well, of course.
Well, several years ago. No, I didn't go this year. Did you?
No, I didn't go this year. I wasn't invited.
You weren't invited?
No.
Everybody's invited. It's a public forum.
Anyway, they say they had a great, great weekend over there, and it's always a big success. I mean, Gretna is one of the largest German
centers.
Oh, yeah. Gretna's one of the largest German centers out there, you know. So
I'm picturing... Do I look like I'm thinking hard over here? Mm-hmm. It's because I'm trying to picture John Foles in an Oktoberfest beer garden.
Ooh.
Singing, swaying along with Papa.
Well, all you have to do
do the chicken dance?
Yep.
Oh, I'm picturing you doing the chicken dance.
All you have to do is be at my house on Saturday night. I came from a big
You're never
German
home
head.
Saturday night.
I'm talking about no old days. I'm talking about No, I never did any chicken dance. I was never into the chicken dance. Now, I know I had a lot of friends who went to the chicken dance, like my good buddy Jack Braun. I'll never forget. He's up in Pennsylvania, you know. Jack loved, boy, you talk about German music, German fest. He went crazy with that chicken dance. You know, everything is fun when you have great German beer to go with it. It's all about the beer at Oktoberfest. And even though the Germans didn't invent beer brewing, they perfected it.
You're saying German beer, so are you kind of partial?
Well, the misnomer that the Germans didn't invent beer is absolutely up for dispute.
I'm sure. Oh, just like andouille sausage, just like French bread.
Well, let me just say the Germans have such a rich heritage here in Louisiana that goes all the way back to the early settlements. The first beer we ever drank was from them, so that's, I consider that's where it began.
Well, yeah. And, you know, at one time, back in the 1800s, South Louisiana had over 10 breweries.
Absolutely.
Can you imagine that? 10 breweries producing more than 230,000 barrels of beer.
Now, what culture was that? What culture was that?
I think it was French.
I'm confused.
Of course, the Germans. Louis Fosnack opened the first commercial brewery in 1852. But unfortunately, 10 years later, the Civil War broke out, and his company didn't survive. Once the Port of New Orleans reopened after the war, though, other brewers saw an opportunity in Louisiana's food and fun-loving culture.
Absolutely. It was starting to establish itself. New Orleans was already, even though the Civil War had just ended, starting to establish itself as a cultural, as a southern...
Mecca.
A mecca for
food
good...
Food mecca.
Certainly for good fun, right? Because Mardi Gras was rolling again. One of those who started it all up again was George Mertz, the founder of what would eventually be called a beer that everybody knows, the Dixie Brewing Company, Dixie Beer. George's son, Valentine, built the brewery on Tulane Avenue. Do you know that brewery survived all the way until the waters of Katrina in 2005 actually destroyed it? But to think that that brewery was up that long. Mm. The 1880s became what we would call the golden days of the golden brew in Louisiana. Mm-hmm. Between the beer production from companies like Southern Brewing Company, Crescent City Brewing Company, Weckerling, Mertz, Pelican, Lafayette, and Louisiana breweries, New Orleans had become the largest beer-making city in the South. Think about that. Now, of course, they were a river port, so you can imagine that steamboats and ships connecting in and out of the ports of New Orleans really not only loved their beer, but knew they could pick some up and also bring some in from some of those other ports. So, yeah, I would say New Orleans was built on German beer.
I'm sure. You know, that could be a song, I'm sure. Oh, and you know, everybody remembers Jack's beer.
Oh, my God, of course.
The Jackson Brewery.
Uncle Paul. Uncle Paul always had his Jacks. Oh, yeah.
I thought you were going to say Uncle Paul.
No.
With a Fabacher once removed or something, because that's who owned Jackson Brewery.
That's right, the Fabacher family. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Big restaurateurs, too.
Yes, indeed. I've looked at many of their old menus over the years. You know, I had no idea, but in the 60s, the Jackson Brewery was the 10th largest brewery in the country.
Wow.
That's pretty amazing, you know.
Unbelievable.
Jack's, Regal, Dixie, Falstaff, they were the big guns all the way until Prohibition. Then the interstate highway system kind of gave easy access to the national brands, and so it became harder and harder for Louisiana breweries to compete, and unfortunately, they either relocated or just closed shop.
Well, you say closed shops, but many of them today became shops too. I mean, like the Jack's Brewery today on the river. You know, I mean they have all those shops there. But the craft beer instinct is strong here, and we saw the startup of many new microbreweries here in Louisiana. Beta Beer opened their plant on the North Shore in 1986, and Abita is a big name that now has national connotation. They took advantage of the Abita Springs artisanal water and was one of only 13 craft breweries in the United States when they opened, and that was just the beginning, you know.
Well, it did seem like the second golden age was about to begin with Abita. In fact, German-born brewer Heinrich Orlich opened Heinerbrau in Covington in 2005. Good friend of ours. He now operates as Covington Brew House. And, you know, just this year, the Chafunkta Brewing Company opened in Mandeville. I like the way they spell that, too, because, you know, it's always so hard to pronounce Chafunkta.
Yeah.
There's Nola Brewing Company on Chapatula Street, New Orleans. They opened in 2008. And they have a fun beer called Hopatulas. You get it?
Yep. Yep, I get it.
You get it? Hopatulas instead of Chapatulas?
Hopatulas on Chapatula Street. And it's great that they're capitalizing on the uniqueness of the city and our unique Native American names as well. But even better, these new breweries are also really focused on the blending and designing of beers that will pair with the unique flavors and the cuisine of this great, great Cajun and Creole state. Mm-hmm. What goes better, if you think about it, with boiled crawfish and crabs and ice cold beer? Baton Rouge, of course, has their Tin Roof Brewing, and in Broussard in Arneville, there's Parish Brewing Company, and Bayou Teche Beers. Bayou Teche has combined a Belgian malt with American hops and yeast to create a unique brew that kind of pairs with boiled crawfish and cochon de lait and all of those spicy dishes. It's a great match. Also, somebody said, wow, good jambalaya. I guess a good match for anything that's got great flavor.
You know, I wonder what the brewmasters actually do when they begin this process.
I've seen them in action. What they do, they sit down with a big old platter of jambalaya and a big bowl of crawfish, and then they say, hey, give me a beer.
Yes.
They say, boy, this tastes good, doesn't it? And that's how it happens, just like that. Huh?
Scientific.
Yeah, very scientific. Yeah, silent tea is good to you. Yeah, tea is good to me.
Oh, goodness. Well, fortunately, our Louisiana legislature recognizes the growing interest. Well, they understand the importance of beer.
Of course they do.
We're really a beer culture, and they understand that there's growing interest in craft brews in this area, and that it's a good thing for the state. So just this past September, we celebrated our very first Craft Beer Week. Lieutenant Governor Jay Darden unveiled the Louisiana Brewery Trail. Isn't that awesome?
Think about that, huh?
So, you know, basically the Louisiana Beer Trail. Considering that these breweries are only a hop, skip, and jump from each other, it's perfect for beer-loving tour groups or for folks coming in when you have to entertain. So now we have the Boudin Trail and we have the Beer Trail, so we can have the Boudin Beer Trail.
Boudin Brewery Trail.
That's it.
Now, I tell you what, there's a lot of great, great activity going on in brewing everywhere.
So when you're getting in the business.
Well, you know, I'm thinking about it. Now, you know, I'm getting in the business of promoting these local beers.
I know.
Because I've got a couple big events coming up where I'm featuring this. In fact, Tin Roof Brewery, you know, I'm doing something with them, right?
That's right, right. There's going to be a special revolutionary beer dinner.
At our restaurant, y'all, at Restaurant Revolution over on Bienville and Bourbon.
Can't do much with those two names. Not like it's not fun like Chocotulas or Chafunka.
Bourbon and Bienville. I tell you what, that's where the fun begins as you sashay down to Chocotula Street.
Oh, boy.
The only problem is getting them off of Bourbon and Bienville and get down there. That's a tough tough walk, you know. But anyway, yeah, a lot of great events Restaurant Revolution is going to have. We're going to talk about that a little bit more later, but we're joining forces with Tin Roof Brewing Company to present, as you mentioned, a revolutionary beer dinner. That's going to be on Tuesday, November the 12th at 7 o'clock p.m. And of course, we're going to combine all of our great revolution foods. I know Molly's all excited about
it.
I'm going to tell you about the menu later.
Four courses, each course paired with a different beer.
Absolutely right.
I got to check my calendar.
And let me tell you what, the dessert, you're going to be able to get a glass of that Rougarou Imperial Black Ale.
Rougarou, that's Rougarou, the name. Oh, that's fun.
That's the name of it, Rougarou. Anyway, y'all, we have a lot to talk about today. We have great guests on the show, and when we come back, we're going to jump right into why is everybody brewing in Louisiana today? We're just happy they are. We'll be back in a minute.
I like beer. It makes me a jolly good fellow. I like beer. It helps me unwind. And sometimes it makes me feel mellow.
Makes him feel mellow.
Whiskey's too rough, champagne costs too much.
Glide through your weekday mornings at 11 a.m. here on the Medicine Ball Caravan. I'm Cecil Doyle. Mondays through Thursdays, we cruise through a fast-paced hour of sounds both old and new, as well as keeping you up to date with area music and arts. The Medicine Ball Caravan, 11 to noon weekdays here on KRVS.
Hi, this is Nick Forster. Every week in E-Town, we bring together musicians from a wide range of styles for some great live performances and conversation. And we also present the Achievement Award to someone doing outstanding work in their communities. It's an hour of uplifting stories and music each week on E-Town.
Tuesday at noon on KRVS. Our music on the Thistle and Shamrock transcends boundaries, expands horizons, celebrates tradition, stimulates innovation. It's music to bring people together, so why don't you join us?
Coming up Sunday evening at 6, here on KRVS.
That's another good one over there, Slam. I like your beer song right there, huh?
Yeah.
Who was that, huh?
That's pretty good.
When I ask you who is that, I know you don't know. You just
I never know. I pick them. I don't know.
Weird. Anyway, welcome back, everybody, to Stirring It Up, the best tasting food and culture show on radio. We're so happy to have you here with us. And today we're talking about craft beers of Louisiana. And, Michelle, y'all went out, you and Mariette, and got a... Got some great guests for us today. Guests that we're doing an event. We make sure we talk about that a little bit.
You know,
we have
to
make sure
that.
We mention that. Okay.
We have with us Charles Caldwell of Tin Roof Brewery in Baton Rouge. Charles is co-owner of the brewery with his childhood friend, William McGeehee.
Why is my childhood friends always only looking to borrow money? He gets in business with his.
Well, you know, what was that your mom always said, you know? People judge you by the company you keep. Birds of a feather flock together.
Oh, no.
Anyway, after school, they each traveled their own path. Charles, actually, he headed west. He went out to work on a Colorado ranch, and William went south. He came to Baton Rouge from Natchez to study law at LSU. Eventually, Charles settled in Natchez, but he visited his buddy William in Baton Rouge quite often, and their conversation always seemed to turn to craft beer and their dreams of building their own brewery. Well, after years of practice, trial and error, I'm sure a lot of taste testing, in November 2010, they produced their very first batch of brew for commercial consumption. Now, they certainly couldn't have done this without a little expertise from head brewmaster Tom Dagrapont.
You see, that's the difference between them and us. See, they went get experts. See, we just try to figure it out on our own.
It kind of makes a difference, doesn't it?
That's why they got so successful in just a couple of years.
So fast, that's it.
It took us 20 years to figure out our problem. They got experts.
Well, anyway, Tom is joining Charles on the big show today. Tom brought 20 years of home brewing experience to the table, or should I say he brought 20 years on tap to the table today. They've been making uniquely flavored craft beer to enjoy with Louisiana cuisine since 2010, and we're delighted, delighted, delighted to have the guys with us today. Charles and Tom, welcome to Stirring It Up.
Oh, thank you.
Thank you. Thanks for having us. We're excited to be here.
Well, guys, y'all have gotten so much great publicity, and it's so nice to have y'all on the show with us today. Thank y'all so much for taking the time to be with us as well. I'm sure this is your busy season, and I know you've had a good run so far. So what's going on over there? Tell us a little bit about this time of year and what y'all doing special.
This time of year, like you said, this is the busy season for us here in Baton Rouge, getting geared up with football season, and the weather is just getting really nice right now, so just really getting geared up. And we also we've got our fall seasonal out this year. It's a parade ground coffee porter, and it's probably our most popular seasonal brew we do, so it's a busy time of year, and not to mention all the Oktoberfest parties all over the state.
Wow, y'all must be taking great advantage of that, huh?
Yes, sir. Yep.
You know, it sounds like starting a brewery would kind of be a huge undertaking. So, Charles, what convinced you and William to open Tin Roof Brewery in Baton Rouge?
Well, I think it was, like you covered a little bit of it, but moving out to Colorado and really experiencing craft beer out there, and this was 10 years ago when it first kind of the dream took birth, but it was something that I always wanted to do, that I always wanted to bring to the South. It made a great deal of sense for us that culture like Louisiana that takes such great pride in our cuisine, you know, to have the same thing in craft beer. So it took a little longer to get down here to Louisiana, but once it did, it's been going nonstop. So, and for Baton Rouge in particular, with us, it was, you know, William had been here for 10 or so years, and I was in Natchez, but just great community like this. Got the flagship university, LSU, right here, and it made sense.
And we're beer drinkers.
Yeah, plenty of beer drinkers. plenty of tailgaters.
Now, you know, I can imagine, I mean, you know, I started a cheese company back when, and I started a food manufacturing plant at some point in time, and got involved in television at some point in time, and each one of those was kind of I always say the Mr. Magoo syndrome, you know, you kind of walked in, that girder was there for you to stand on, and we seemed to always come out of the other end because of passion or because of the love of it. We always seemed to come out of it somewhat successful. What was your biggest hurdle as y'all decided, you know, we're going to do this, we're going to find a building? I cannot even begin to imagine that first step to commit to the equipment and the place and the technique and everything else to stand apart. You almost had some very serious conversations about challenges.
We definitely did, and sometimes I think that if I'd known some of them, we might not have taken the leap, but my ignorance is bliss sometimes. So this industry, it's a very unique industry, so there's no books out there, you know, really telling you exactly what to do. So it's been a lot of learning as we go. Obviously, there's been plenty of mistakes. It takes definitely a great deal of passion. And then Tom is our brewmaster. Never met anyone that loves what they do as much as he does. So it's about, you know, just having great partners and trying to learn as we go. And we learn something new every day, even 3 years into it. So I think that's what keeps it fun. It'd be boring around here otherwise if everything went like it was supposed to all the time.
Now, Tom, you were a home brewer for many, many years, obviously. I'm sure a lot of guys get started that way, just experimenting on their own until they develop what they love and drink. But what got you into making the decision to move in the big time?
I'd always wanted to. I started brewing back in 1991 as a home brewer. And I got real passionate about the hobby back then and really enjoyed making my own beer. And basically, I started a brewery back in 97. We only went for about 3 years. I've been around professional breweries, plus all of our vacations. The kids always grew up around some trip that took us to some destination that was within an hour's drive of either a brewery or a brew pub. So we'd go tour it and see it and taste their beers and experience this. And I've always wanted to kind of get back into it when the opportunity opened up with Tin Roof here in town. And so I decided to see if they needed some help, at least on the brewery side of it. And we had a long discussion and decided, you know, yeah, let me come in and do the beers. And I've kind of semi-retired since then, so.
Well, you know, when people ask me what gave me the courage to get into food manufacturing, I said, well, I could eat my mistakes.
Right. You know?
so could you drink your mistakes? Is that
sometimes we can't drink the mistakes.
Charles, you were talking about craft breweries and how that was a big thing in Colorado that you wanted to bring here. What defines a craft brewery or a craft beer?
I take that. On a craft beer, the way we kind of look at it is there's a legal description. I think if you're 2 million barrels or less, you can be considered a craft brewery. The real thing that we look at as brewers and as beer geeks and beerophiles is how authentic is the brewery? I mean, are they brewing from scratch? Are they using the authentic ingredients that they used, you know, over the centuries when they developed beer, all malt beers? Using hops, using hops multiple times throughout the process during the boil. So those kind of things where they're using their artisan knowledge to be able to craft a beer in a certain beer style. There's plenty of beer styles out there, but to be able to craft it in such a way that it's more full-bodied, more full-flavored, more taste. Just everything involved, it becomes more of a beverage that you enjoy more with a plate of food or just as a social gathering, more or less just to sit around and talk about the beer. To taste it and drink it and discuss it. And that's kind of where the craft beer world falls. And so the craft beer industry, even though, like I said, you know, you can get up there and 2 million barrels is a humongous-sized brewery, believe it or not. I mean, it's not as big as the commercial breweries, but it's big. You're talking about a pretty large volume of product putting out there. But we, as the brewers, look more towards the small ones like Tin Roof, and those that are popping up around the state of Louisiana as well as around the country as being a craft beer or a craft brewery where they really pay attention to the artisan and the old ways of brewing all the way back to the Weinzeit Live Germany of, I believe it was 15, 16, that's been around since that long, that they try to follow that law regardless. And that's something you don't get necessarily with commercial breweries. So that's the difference between the so-called commercial beers and the craft beers.
Now, Tom, also, you know, I think when we start out as chefs to look at creating food that's unique to our restaurant or unique to our style, we certainly want to stay true or passionate about our Louisiana ingredients. We think about the spice profiles of our region. Is that kind of the same process with y'all as you start to try to identify yourself as a Louisiana craft brewery? What steps are taken to say, what can I identify in the Louisiana terroir or whatever to create that true Louisiana ambiance? Or is that even a consideration?
I definitely think it is. For us, when we're coming up with new recipes and with new beers, you know, that there's plenty of styles out there that we could go move towards, but for us, being a local brewery here in Louisiana, we want to brew styles that complement the cuisine. We want to brew styles that complement the seasons here in Louisiana. So for us, every time we're brainstorming about a new beer or something new, we're definitely brewing for the profile with a Louisiana consumer in mind, first and foremost.
Right. Good.
You know, I've been looking over the menu that's being done for the Dinner at Revolution on the 12th. Of November. Which came first, the dish or the beer? Did y'all collaborate with Chef Chris Lusk?
Well, you know, I've eaten there a few times, so and I knew the food was going to be phenomenal, but it was kind of a mix of both. So there's a couple dishes on there that are paired with our flagships, our Voodoo Bingo Pale Ale, Tin Roof Blonde Ale, Perfect 10 Amber Ale, and then we also, there's a dish on there where the chef is cooking with our Parade Ground Coffee Porter, which is our fall seasonal. So it's definitely a mix of both. You know, we took the beers over there, did some sampling, figured out, you know, which flavor profiles meld with each beer. We also have our Rougarou Imperial Black Ale paired with a dish, and that's a really special beer that we just did a limited amount of. So to be able to have that for this beer dinner, I think is going to be a real treat.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, Michelle, I'm looking at the menu we've come together with here, and the first course is going to be a smoked potato bisque, and of course there's going to be a little black truffle and a Creole cream cheese.
See, and I would never have put beer with black truffle.
Well,
but hey,
you know why? Because you didn't have Tin Roof.
I didn't have
Voodoo
Tin
Bingo
Roof.
Pale Ale.
That's
you
it.
See? If you'd have had that, it'd come right to
it'd
you.
It'd come
you
right
said,
to
I'd
me.
I'd have done it. See?
Just
huh?
bam, but like magic.
Don't use the word bam in this studio.
Don't look at my pots in my kitchen then.
Okay, second course, we're going to do a chanterelle, a great mushroom, the wild mushroom of Louisiana spatzel with a little foie gras brown butter and roquette leaves. And, of course, that's going to be with the blonde ale. That's going to go perfect.
Yum.
That's going to go
delicious.
Absolutely great. Third course, wow, what better course for beer, our spice-cured venison. Mm. And we're going to have a sweet potato croquette with a Tin Roof. Here it is right here, the Parade Ground Coffee Porter, Red Eye Gravy.
Oh. Red Eye Gravy.
Yep, I'm going to have to talk to Chris. That's a good one. And that's going to be with the Perfect 10 Amber Ale. And then the dessert, the Satsuma Chocolate Bar. Satsuma Gastrique is going to be wonderful, and that's with the Rougarou Imperial Black Ale. This is going to be a great dinner. Y'all, I can't tell you how excited we are about this. It's going to be absolutely fantastic. And I know a lot of restaurants are coming together with these craft breweries to do dinners like this. Have y'all done a lot of them, or is this some of the first few that you're doing, just getting out there?
We've done a few of them in the past. I think this is probably going to be our crowning achievement to date with the beer dinner. We like to be really involved with the beer dinners that we plan, so we want to make sure that everybody really enjoys them and gets the most out of them educationally as far as pairing the beer with the food. So I think it's going to be pretty limited seating, but that's kind of what we want, because I want people to come to this beer dinner. I really want them to walk away taking something away from this as far as education.
In my mind, it's very inexpensive. I mean, $75 for four course and beers with every course. I mean, that's fantastic. Do y'all do tastings there at your brewery?
Yeah, what happens is every Friday night from 5 to 7, we have open house, basically our tours. And basically, we charge $5. And for that $5, you get a half-pint glass that's yours to keep. And you get three beer tokens. And normally, we have three or four beers on tap. And you're welcome to come by. And the brew tour actually starts at about 6. So you can come by 5, 5:30, and sit down and have a beer and walk around the brewery and check her out. And then at 6 o'clock, we give you about a 25-minute tour, 30-minute tour of how we make the beer and walk you through the brewery and of all the things we do. And at the same time, we're also working right now on eventually having a tap room here where you'll be able to come in and actually sit down and buy a pint.
Wow.
And when we do that, we'll be able to take our experimental beers, the beers that we're testing or trying to see what they'll do, and actually put those on tap and get the public's opinion on what they think of them. And the only place we're going to do that is here at the tap room. So we're working on those things, and our doors are always open. So if you happen to come by, you're from out of town, you want to check out the brewery before you leave, if we can, we'll break away from what we're doing and try to give you 5 or 10 or 15 minutes and give you a sample. That way you walk away satisfied.
So does out of town, does that include, like, Prairieville?
No, Prairieville's fine.
Okay,
come by
just checking.
Look, what I want to recommend is as the seasons roll around in Louisiana, Michelle and I always say that we have no regular calendar here. Our seasons are dictated by the ingredients or the seafood in the Gulf or the swamplands or the deer season or the duck season. I think we ought to look at going to them during the height of deer season or game season and get a group of their friends together at the brewery and do a little demo
of
cooking with their beer and cutting up a little beer. No,
that would be fun.
That'd be a lot of fun, wouldn't it?
That would be a lot of fun.
Y'all are more than welcome. We'd love it.
We'd love to do that. Well, you know, you guys, I want to commend y'all, obviously, as Louisiana has, and I know the Lieutenant Governor has done just a great job of kicking off this new Louisiana beer trail, and he was very excited about that as well. Louisiana has been, no doubt about it, our food has always been synonymous with beer drinking because of the cultures. Do you see that to be a big plus for y'all here, that already Louisianians in general as a group of consumers appreciate beer with seafood and with their wild game dishes, etc., that it's just a natural? Was that an easier mix for Louisiana brewers?
I definitely think it is. For us, the way Louisiana is with the cuisine, it's a natural partnership. And as brewers, it's helped us grow our industry here in Louisiana by being able to prepare with all this unique cuisine that's not available pretty much anywhere else in the country. So it's made our brewing industry here in Louisiana unique, and it's helped us grow and get the word out, and it's really starting to catch on.
Well, y'all have done, as I say, a great job with your publicity, and certainly the food industry has certainly embraced y'all as well. We are so appreciative of the partnership that we've put together with y'all as well for our Restaurant Revolution dinner coming up. We certainly want to do that again with y'all. And I want to let everybody know that all of the information on Tin Roof Brewery will be on our website. If you go to www.jfalls.com, everything's going to be right there. The menu's going to be there as well. Anyway, guys, thank y'all so much. Everybody, go to our website. Tin Roof's information's going to be there. And please mark your calendar for November the 12th at 7 o'clock p.m., come by and see us. If you cannot get into the dinner, stand by the doors and look in, and we'll let you at least buy a beer.
You can smell
off
for
of the
free.
Bar. Well, they can buy a beer off of the bar. Give me a break. That's the best bar in town, right?
I'm texting the culinary school. I'm busy right now.
Guys, thank you all so very much for a great venture. Thank you all for your success. And thanks for being a partner with us at Restaurant Revolution and for being on the big show with us today. We appreciate y'all, okay?
Thank you.
Bye bye, y'all. Y'all be safe out there. Okay, y'all, we're going to be back in just a minute.
Hello, fellow Jack, just here in town. Man, if your baby don't satisfy, why don't cry? Just let her slide and drink Jack's beer. Good Jack's beer. Hello, fellow Jack, just here in town. And when you're stepping out all about and you want to shout, bring it here.
What's happening musically in Dakar? Joburg, Kinshasa, Port Spain, Havana, Accra, Dar es Salaam, Cairo, Paris, New York. Well, tune in this week and every week to find out on Afropop Worldwide from PRI, Public Radio International.
Sunday night at 8 on KRVS.
Hi, this is Bill Bowens from the Dirty Rice Show, inviting you to join either Mr. Lee Klein, Peter, or myself every Saturday night from 8:30 p.m. until 10 p.m. for Dirty Rice right here on KRBS 88.7 FM, Lafayette, Lake Charles, public radio for Acadiana.
Greetings. Move to KRVS every Sunday night for 2 hours of hardcore classic Rasta reggae radio right here on Jamon. Jamon, Sunday nights 9 to 11 p.m., Saturday mornings 1 to 3 here on KRVS, Lafayette, Lake Charles.
Welcome back, everybody, to Stirring It Up, the best-tasting food and culture show on radio. And today, as you know, we're talking about beer. And, Michelle, before we get too far down the line, I want to find out if you have any books on the subject or anything you want to share with our listeners to enhance their library or reading material, whatever you might want to do.
You know, I brewed beer one time.
Yeah, I bet you did.
Yeah. Got my Mr. Dad.
Really?
Brew kit.
Yeah, a Mr. Dad brew kit, yeah.
Mr. Dad.
Yeah, turned out pretty well, I have to say. Yes. I had to put the sugar in. I think it was sugar.
She thinks it was sugar in the beer.
Yeah.
You sure it
wasn't? The hops came in a can.
Huh?
Okay.
Not too much. But it was good.
It was good.
It was good.
How much did you end up making?
Probably about 16 bottles.
16 bottles. And did you cap them yourself and all that? Did you put them in
the bottle? I screwed the top right on.
You screwed the top on, I see. You know, a lot of times people say that if you brew a bad batch of alcohol of any kind, it affects your brain.
Uh-oh.
You know, I'm talking about plum. You know, I'm talking about plum.
A theory.
I'm just
well,
thinking.
You know mine was good
I'm
then.
I'm just thinking plum. I mean,
oh,
you know.
No.
Anyway, the first book that I have to recommend is called The Craft Beer Cookbook, From IPAs and Bocks to Pilsners and Porters, 100 Recipes for Cooking with Beer. This was written by Jacqueline Dodd. The author is a lover of craft beers. She also has a website called The Beeriness, like Baroness, The Beeriness, which she dedicates to the new taste being developed by craft brewers. One of the features that I like about her book is the introduction to beer and how to pair foods and cook with it. The recipes are really innovative. They're simple. They're delicious. I mean, how could you not love jalapenos and bacon beer cheese dip?
Well, that's fantastic.
The Craft Beer Cookbook.
What about the second one you have here?
Yeah, the second one is from our very own great Louisiana brewery, the Abita Beer Cooking Louisiana True. The recipes are from many Louisiana chefs, deep-fried beer braised, short ribs po' boy, Abita amber pulled pork. They all use Abita beer as an ingredient. But on top of that, there's a great section on the history of beer in New Orleans, which we were talking about earlier in the show. Beautiful photography, tips on pairing beer with food. You'll want one for yourself and probably one as a gift as well. And then finally, there is a book called Easy Oktoberfest Recipes. It was written by Steffi Barth. It's a Kindle offering that has a great list of traditional fest-worthy recipes that you can have for your German celebration.
Little Jägerschnitzel,
yes.
Spatzel, Oktoberfest, hot slaw, all in a big book.
Yeah. 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 So all are great additions to your culture and culinary library. All the information about the books will be on our website, jfolse.com.
Man, I sure hope they have a recipe for that jalapeno bacon beer cheese.
Well, you'll
dip.
Be lucky if they do.
I'll be lucky. I'll be dipping in. What else is on the big Facebook page? Anything?
I'm looking at it right now, and I tell you, the leader of the Stovehounds, David Hubble,
Yeah.
Which Dr. David Hubble, if you ask me, because he's doing such an academic job over here. He says that he noticed that Chef is going to be on the EWTN's The World Over, which I guess that happened by now.
Yeah.
But he was just saying he was looking forward to watching it.
Cool. I know. Everybody sit down. John Foles was on a religious program.
What are you talking about?
I'm just saying. Eternal Word Television Network.
And listening to me is a religious experience. So, I mean, you know, I can I can preach day and night, huh? I can preach the gospel of food here.
I tell you what, it was a fabulous interview, though.
It's pretty good.
I have to say.
Did you see it?
Fantastic. Of course I did. Of course I did.
Yeah, I didn't
get
a chance
interview.
To see it.
I've got a link.
So it was good, huh?
Yes, it was.
What did I say?
Raymond Arroyo was fantastic, by the way.
That was great.
Yeah.
But yeah, we got that Facebook page. Y'all gotta come check out our public forum on the internet where Stovehounds are getting together and discussing the topics of the day.
Just kidding.
Come on by. We're looking for ideas for upcoming show topics, you know.
And tell us something fun.
Yeah.
I want a story. It's story time in the studio.
Did Dr. Hubble ever mention anything about my Wagyu cows?
Huh? The Wagyu cows.
My Japanese cows. I put pictures on the site. Oh, by the way, Michelle, our chickens are laying.
Woo! Yay! Where are the eggs?
Our chickens are laying, and I got pictures of the first egg.
Where's the first egg?
I got it on my camera.
Where's the real egg?
Can you imagine that I have reverted to taking pictures of an egg? Anyway, yeah, my buff army. Well, first of all, it was the guinea hens that laid the first eggs over at the farm. Yeah, the guinea fowl laid the first eggs. And then the buff Arpington came next and laid a nice big brown egg. And so now we're off and running.
There it is.
So they still got a few more that need to produce.
Well, we've got 30 more need to produce. We got two of them. We got two of them decided it was time. Another 30 are waiting to see what's all that.
I said we had roosters accidentally.
Uh-oh.
No, we don't need a rooster for an egg. So what's our Facebook address up there?
Yeah, Michelle? I guess we should
Facebook.com, huh?
Yeah.
/ stirring it up, STIRRIN it up radio. Stirring it up radio. Facebook.com/stirringitupradio.
And as always, you can check out archives of the recorded shows on our jfolse.com. website right there with all the facts and figures as well.
Okay, let me tell you what I have options for today. Beer braised hot dogs with sweetened sauerkraut. One of the favorite dishes I picked up in Pennsylvania country. That's where I first ate it.
That's the first place you ate a beer braised
hot dog. Beer braised hot dog with sweetened kraut. That was a good one.
All right.
Beer quick bread, too. A lot of people like to bake bread, and the beer is a nice.
Is it really good and quick?
Yeah, it's very quick. Then we have, of course, your basic traditional beer battered onion rings. I mean, a lot of people like that. But I think we ought to go with the beer braised hot dogs. Ooh. Okay, let's get in here and do this recipe. I think it's going to be a really...
Doing hot dogs on the big show today. All right.
Okay, hot dogs. I think we'll do hot dogs because German is sausages.
It is sausages.
And I mean, if you want to do anything authentic German, they better have a sausage in there somewhere.
Why don't we do it with brats? That sounds more
you can do it with
German
brats.
Than
well,
hot
you can
dog.
Say braised. You can say beer braised sausage. So you can use brats. You can use anything you want. Brats would be really good. So you're going to begin, y'all, with 3 cups. Of sauerkraut rinsed and drained. Now, the Germans don't like to rinse the sour off of the kraut too much. So you want to maybe rinse it. Depends on how you like it.
They would have probably made their sauerkraut from scratch, too.
Well, yeah, and I've done that myself.
You have?
Absolutely. Very simple. Shredded cabbage, a little salt between the layers, and pack it down. That's it.
Let
Put a little juniper berries in there. Yep, that's it. Okay, y'all, you're going to have a cup of that tin roof brewing beer, right?
Mm-hmm.
You have a cup of that in there.
Is that for the pot or to drink?
No, it's for the pot. So a cup of that, you can drink the rest. 3 cups of the, I'm going to use Vlasic. I love Vlasic sauerkraut. I think it's the best. 1 cup of the Tin Roof dark beer. Then you're going to use 1 tablespoon of Steen's cane syrup. That's where the sweetening comes from. Salt and pepper to taste, granulated garlic. And in a pot, you're going to put on the stove over medium-high heat, and you're going to add the sauerkraut, the beer, the Steen's cane syrup. You're going to, over medium-high heat, you're going to bring that to a boil. You're going to reduce the liquid by 75%. That's going to take about 15 minutes. That's all. Season it to taste using salt, pepper, granulated garlic. And you can remove it from the heat or put it on a low fire, adding a little additional beer as necessary to keep it moist. and just let it kind of cook down. But just cooking it 10, 15 minutes is enough. You can remove it off the heat if you like. Now, of course, for the dog, you want to use brats, huh?
Yeah,
yeah, let's use
I think
a little
so.
Brats. So you get one of those six packs of brats in all the stores.
Yeah, I think they only have five.
You only got five?
I think they only have five. It's tough times.
I tell you what, you better watch the store you're going in. They repack it. See that? Every five packs, they get a free one. See what I'm talking about? You better get
repack
you better,
in the
yeah,
store.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I know the store you shop at. I don't trade with them no more. I don't trade with them, I'm telling you, huh? Did the same thing with chicken.
Yeah.
All right, y'all, you're going to have six, or in Michelle's store, if she's shopping, five all-meat brats. You're going to have those in there. You're going to have one 12-ounce bottle of your favorite beer, whichever one you like, whatever tin roof brew you like.
Like Rougarou.
Yeah, Rougarou would be great for this. Go ahead and put it in there. And two tablespoons of sugar. You're going to drop down in that pot as well. And, of course, you're going to light the grill, because you might want to grill those in a little bit and get you some of those hot dog buns, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So in a large sauce pot, y'all, you're going to bring the beer and the sugar to a simmer over a medium-high heat, and you're going to add the brats, and you're going to kind of put them in there and just kind of move them around. I like to use a nice big skillet for that, because you can move them around and turn them as you go. And you're going to just kind of cook them with that low simmer until the brats are cooked all the way through. That's going to take about 15 minutes or so. And just turn them lightly from time to time using a pair of tongs. And then I would always go to the grill after that. I go to just take your home-style grill, light it according to manufacturer's directions, whether it's a coal grill or whether it's a green egg or whether it's one of the gas-fired grills. It doesn't matter. I like to throw a little wood smoke on it. You know, I like to throw a little pecan wood or some little chips on it before I put my brats down.
Yeah, I don't think I can do that on my grill.
Well, you don't have to do it on your grill, but, I mean, let's do it on mine. You can put a little smoke box on your
grill. I think I'd start a fire if I did that.
Well, maybe so. You ought to clean that thing every now and
then. No, because I got that little,
A little oh, you got that little bitty.
Yeah.
With the acetylene torch on it. Yeah, I see. Y'all, what do you need to know? Y'all, what do you need to know? Anyway, so then you're going to take the brats out of that nice beer and sugar water that's been simmering and plump, nice and plump. I throw it on a grill, and I just kind of put some little grill marks on it, and then kind of move them off to the side and heat up my dog buns. You know, I get my buns nice and toasted on the inside. And then, of course, you know the rest of the story. I'm going to put a little slab of Creole mustard on there, right?
I love Creole mustard.
I'll throw a little Creole mustard down. I'm going to put that brat right down in there. It's got not a sweetened dark beer flavor to it, cooked all the way through. Then I'm going to top that with a nice little bed of that beautiful sweetened sauerkraut.
Should you pierce the brats before you boil them?
Depends how angry you are.
Well, to absorb more flavor.
To absorb flavor? Oh, you mean before you boil them? Before
well,
you boil them in the beer.
Them.
No, you can do that. Sure you can. That's the good thing about cooking, Slama. The good thing about cooking is
you can improv and change it up a little bit.
Yeah, because my grandfather used to say, if everybody loved the same thing, everybody would be married to grandma. Everybody be married to grandma. So everybody does things differently, you know what I mean? And, of course, even the brats here, you can do this the night before. So say you're having a big party or something. You can go ahead and take all of your brats or your wieners or whatever you want to use, any kind of German sausage. Go ahead and cook them in your beer the night before if you want to get ahead of the game. And then you go directly to the grill after to heat them up. You can do that step ahead of time if you want to. Always use a good German mustard on it, too. I'm using Creole mustard, which is German in origin, right? The Germans of Louisiana. And Michelle, we have a couple of different things we're doing.
Yeah.
Right? Okay, tell them, because I'm looking at this right here. This is going to be a big event. The 17th annual Bite of the Arts at the Chef John Falls Culinary Institute at Nicholls State University.
That's right. It's a great dinner. We're actually honoring Chef Gunter Preuss that night.
Oh, that's right. German chef.
German
extraordinaire.
Chef.
Yeah.
Extraordinaire. We're honoring him with a fabulous German heritage dinner. It is a fundraiser for the Chef John Falls Culinary Institute there at Nicholls State. It's on Thursday, November 14th. Great meal. The tickets are available from the school. We'll have that information online. The DVC that night, Tori Stewart. He was executive chef at Broussard's, Chef Gunter Pruse's restaurant, for many, many years.
The DVC, Salama, that's the distinguished visiting chef who's coming in to do the dinner mm-hmm. that night, DVC. Okay.
We're also honoring the German-American Cultural Center that night.
Are we having a few of them coming by?
Yes, indeed. Yes,
so,
indeed.
So, yeah, the German, tell them about this, because you know there's a John Falls display in there, right?
I'm sure there is. That's right. They are doing a display for us, and we're honoring them for kind of keeping the heritage fires burning, so to speak. They have a great museum down in Gretna, a German-American Cultural Center.
Right across the river from New Orleans, right over the bridge there.
Right over the bridge. Just about everything. I mean, they have a fabulous collection, fabulous histories of Louisiana's Germans, those who were the doctors that came in, musicians, the brewmasters.
Yeah, it's great to walk through the German-American Museum over in Gretna and to see that magnificent display. I mean, they have the two rows that founded mm-hmm. the hospitals and the Schwagmans, the big supermarkets. You know, all of these German names, the Falses that came over. But anyway, y'all, so that's going to be a great event over at Nicholls State University.
November 14th.
November the 14th. And remember, on November the 12th. That's right. 2 days before, of course, will be the Tin Roof Brewing in conjunction with Restaurant Revolution Bourbon and Bienville in New Orleans, two great German events that we're involved in. And if you hadn't been to the German American Museum in Gretna, all kidding aside, y'all, it is probably the best example of a collection of German culture in Louisiana than you ever hope to see anywhere. So anyway, thanks to the guys from Tin Roof for being with us. All the information's on the website, and go heat up the grill, y'all. You got dogs to grill out there, you know. We'll see you next week. We'll